realize coupling constant initiation called GAP. And in that model, so quark has its superpartner scalar quark, and the lepton has also its superpartner lepton, and the gauge part has also its fermionic partner, gauging or photon superpartner is called 14 or Dino or something. Neutrino is the superposition of those gauging, including Dino, Wino, or Dino, Dino, two Higgs enos. And the most attractive prediction in supergravity, which is the local theory of supersymmetry, is a gravitino, a superpartner of graviton. And in this talk, I'd like to also discuss the superpartner of axion called axino. Or in this talk, I will discuss the more extended particle, fraxino. It is a kind of axino, but the superposition of axion nodes, two axinos, in some class of axion models. Okay. And in this low energy world, the supersymmetry is broken. So we need some mechanism to break the supersymmetry. And the popular model is gravity mediation. So in this case, the, most of the particles existing in the observable sector, this orange sector, quark and quark or something. But the Sugi breaking effect is occurs in hidden sector. And the scale is, for example, say M Sugi or something. And this Sugi breaking effect is propagated only through gravity. And we request this mechanism to, for all of the Sugi particles to have the weak scale, maybe 100 GeV to 1 GeV or something. And in this model, the combination of mass is represented by like this. So Sugi scale square over Planck mass. And this is a requirement. And so we need the M Sugi 10 to 10 or 10 to 11 GeV. So simultaneously in this model, gravity and mass has also same combination, same relation. And in this model, it is predicted that the gravity mass is at around 100 or 100 GeV or 1000 GeV. Okay, this is the most interesting prediction in gauge mediation, mediated Sugi breaking model. And another another model has been popular, gauge mediation, or called dynamic Sugi breaking. And the difference is that we need one more sector called messenger sector, and the Sugi breaking effect is propagated through the gauge interaction. It's complicated, so this is not correct picture, but the, most of the such a breaking effect is propagated by gauge interaction, and it's calculable. And currently, the model has been simplified and becomes popular. And the interesting thing is that the gravity and mass can be smaller than the usual gravity mediation, and say it is less than 10 GeV. Okay. And my talk is based on these Sugi breaking models. And okay. So I'd like to constrain such a new physics by using the BDN or another cosmology. That is one direction of my research. Okay. And so far, we know that the neutralino is a superposition of Dino, Wino, two Higgs enos. This is the most popular candidate of dark matter in supergravity. And this has, this can be lightest Sugi particle, even in the global Sugi supersymmetry. And additionally, there is another candidate of dark matter in supergravity, gravitino. And this, as I said, this is a superpartner of graviton. The spin is 3½, and it can be, the mass can be smaller than 100 GeV. And this is massive only in local Sugi or supergravity. And another attractive candidate of dark matter might be axion. So there are no discrepancy, even if we assume that dark matter is axion. Currently, perhaps the best candidate of dark matter without supersymmetry. And there is a strong motivation to introduce the axion to solve the strong CP problem. And the mass is very small, 10 to minus 5 electron volts. Although this is called dark matter because of the non-thermal production. It doesn't produce the thermal. Okay, and there are strong motivation to introduce this axion from another from different motivation. I mean, this is different motivation, like compared with supersymmetry. So still, this is attractive. And but in supersymmetry theory, for example, there is also another superpartner of axion, fermionic superpartner of axion called axino. And in some model of axion called DFSZ models or a gut axion model, so there are many axion appears, QCD axion appears, and the superposition of axinos is different from the simple axino. And in this talk, we call this namely superposition of axinos fraxino. Historically, it was called fratinos or something. I will discuss this at the end of this talk. Okay. And in this talk, I don't want to discuss the detail of the DDN constraints on the decaying particle. But I would like to show simply my results. Okay. So in supergravity theory, there are a lot of unstable particles, such as when we consider this mass spectrum, gravitino NLSP and neutralino LSP. In this case, the lifetime can be longer, very long, because of the suppression of Planck mass in this case. Namely, the parent particle is gravitino. In this case, typically the lifetime can be longer than the 1 second for the typical weak scale gravitino mass. And the gravitino is produced in the thermal scattering in the early universe. So typically, if we consider the heating temperature after inflation is 10 to 7 GeV, typically the gravitino mass, this Y is defined by the number density of gravitino per entropy is 10 to minus 14. In this case, we have this relation. And we can plot the excluded region of this Y as a function of lifetime or mass. This plot is like this. Okay, I'd like to introduce briefly the properties of this constraint. Horizontal axis is the gravity mass or lifetime of gravity of NLSP. And the vertical axis is the number density or Y of gravitino, which is corresponds to the lifetime heating temperature after primordial inflation. So the larger TR corresponds to the larger number density of Y. And from the observation, we can constrain this kind of dangerous decaying particle. And this dashed line is the line to become dark matter, cold dark matter for the daughter particle neutralino. And the upper region is this. And this mass range corresponds to around lifetime to the 0.1 seconds. So if the lifetime is shorter than 0.1 seconds, then only dark matter density constrains this kind of scenario. Okay, here, this region, the helium-4 mass fraction constrains this model. Because the decaying gravitino produces a lot of neutron, proton, or mesons, like such as pi plus minus or something. So such extraordinary emission of hadrons interchange the background neutron and proton. So more helium-4 is produced. So this region is excluded by helium-4 observation. And here, deuterium abundance excludes this scenario because hadronic decay produces the energetic neutron or proton. The, such a neutron is not stopped and destroys the background helium-4 and produces more deuterium. So compared with observation, this region is excluded. And this region is related with Carlson dynamic torque. So energetic neutron and proton destroy the helium-4 and produce the tritium, energetic, relatively energetic tritium and helium-3. And they scatter off background helium-4 and produce the lithium-6 non-thermally. And this region is excluded by observational lithium-6, upper bound of lithium-6. And this region is slightly different. Okay, here we assume, I assume that the, in this mass spectrum, gravity in NLSP and neutral in NLSP, there are a lot of photon is produced. The branching ratio is approximately 100%. And in addition, yeah, the many hadrons or quark and gluon are produced. In this case, also the branching ratio is 100%. So in that case, the for longer lifetime or shorter gravity in mass, here the photodissociation of helium-4 is important, and they produce a lot of helium-3. So this region, the observational helium-3 over deuterium abundance constraint and killed this region. Okay, that's the summary of this constraint. So yeah, I completed this hadronic decay code in 2004. And coincidentally, the Carlson dynamics also interested in the hadronic decay in 2004. And complementary, maybe we have developed this, this subject. And but the aspect of value was different. Yeah, my interest was to constrain this kind of new physics. But his motivation was at first to explain or to solve the problem within seven or within six problems. But the complementary, this, our research have developed this hadronic decay process. Okay, and but the our result is very impressive, I think so, because the reheating temperature after inflation should be less than, for example, say 10 to 6 GeV or 10 to 7 GeV for typical weak scale gravity in mass, in this mass spectrum. But we expect that this mass should be at around less than at around a few GeV or 1 GeV. But the scale is much smaller, a bit smaller compared with Planck mass or something. From the viewpoint of model building inflation, we expected that the reheating temperature after inflation should be close to the Planck mass or something, or gut scale at least. But our constraint tells us that the reheating temperature after inflation should be less than 10 to 7. So it's difficult from the viewpoint of model building of the inflation, it's difficult to achieve this constraint. Currently, the reheating temperature can be free parameter or something, yeah, in model building community of the inflation. So this
NLSP,
yeah,
figure, even though the gravity mass is safe.
Yeah. So this is the exclusive region that the neutralino can be.
But in that figure, for instance, if the gravity mass, let's say 6 GeV or so, that means that the exclusive particles, rather than, except for the neutralino, all heavier than 50.
You're right.
All other quarks, leptons.
Yes.
That's not the, typical mass spectrum.
Right, yeah. So, we have simplified that. Yeah. Mm. We have omitted that. Intermediate mass scale. Yeah.
But in your last paper, I think you fixed all other masses and just varied the gravity of mass. Mm-hmm. Here it's a different figure.
No. Surely in this, in our choice of parameter space, surely the mass. There are also particles between this. But it doesn't change this picture for the result. I think so. Because we have considered having detail and
The relevant thing is what the lifetime of those others is probably much shorter.
Yeah, much shorter. Yes.
True.
But sometimes there are designated parameters or something that should make continuous. So maybe he is reason. Yeah. Shorter lifetime is one.
For example, if the Gravitino would be heavier than the blue Eos, you would expect a higher hadronic mass.
Yeah,
that's
right.
But here you see that you are assuming that the neutron is the Gravitino is B, so the Gravitino can only gain the neutrino.
And gluon.
And the photon. Photon or virtual photon, 224.
Two quarks, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if the gravitino mass is 10 TeV, I would expect the gluon is actually lighter. Yeah. Then larger hadronic collapse ratio.
Right, yeah. So if, okay, right, you are. Yes, but we have simplified the picture. It depends on the picture.
So in this paper, also look at this decay for the
gravitino.
No, blue and blue.
No, we only consider the neutrino decay.
Oh, in the last paper, I thought you also include all the decay modes, also include green and glue in that paper.
Yeah, sorry. But it's difficult to ignore. But from the viewpoint of explanation, so we don't have to say the detailed mass spectrum. So I didn't introduce the full mass spectrum. This is not the main result. Okay. So in that case, such a mass spectrum to realize gravity in NNSP and neutralino has a trouble because from the viewpoint of the model building of inflation. And okay, we need the relatively low reheating temperature. So if we invert the hierarchy, when we consider the neutralino NLST and the gravitino NLST scenario, there are similar kind of the trouble because the neutralino has also order one hadronic branching ratio. Of course, it depends on the mass spectrum of another particle. But we are considering up to the 1 TeV mass beam. So, this region is excluded by the BDN calculation. But at first we expected that the gravitino can be CDM, and this dotted line is the region that the gravitino can be CDM. But if we restrict ourselves in parameter space to be up to 1 TeV, apparently there are no region to realize the gravitino can be CDM. Yeah, only considering.
If from the reheating temperature.
Yeah, if reheating temperature is possibility, but currently we are considering such a non-thermal collapse. Maybe this talk will be discussed by Frank Stefan or Joseph Strasser in detail. I'm motivated to study the star NLSP because the star NLSP has a relatively smaller hadronic branching ratio. Okay. So it's a good motivation to omit the neutralino, very popular candidate of dark matter or NLSP. Then in this case, the LSP would be gravitino or axino. I will discuss the axino, platino, platino later. Okay. According to this morning discussion, the star has a problem of the Big Bang nucleosynthesis or cosmology because start recombine with the lighter elements at around 10 keV or 1 keV epoch. Because according to the simple calculation, by using the binding energy of the at around 100 keV or 1 MeV. So this is so in cosmology, this kind of recombination is popular in the proton between proton and electron. So the problem is that this kind of jump captures nuclei, or star capture nuclei, changes the nuclear reaction rate dramatically in DBN. So the cross section to form the bound binding bound state is very sensitive. But here I considering the very simple version of the cross section. But Maxim Popper have discussed the very scrutinized discussion or research about the binding energy, so the binding cross section. But here I didn't consider such a one, and I adapted the simple one taken by the famous textbook of Sarpita or something. Okay, so but the important thing is that the about for heading for bound state, it occurs at around 10 keV or something. That will be later. And at about the beryllium 7, it occurs at this one, maybe 70 keV. By changing the initial initial fraction of the charge particle, why is the number density to the entropy ratio, and as a function of the cosmic center? Yes.
I had a quick look yesterday. I didn't finish it completely, but it seemed to me like your bound state fraction for beryllium 7 is a factor of 20 or something like this higher. Than the one you would get if you would take the recombination rate that's calculated by Bernard. I don't know, do you agree with that? Or
I didn't check.
It seems like he reaches that bound state fractions are almost unity, like for very small abundances.
I stand by my rate, but I didn't check what happens then.
Not perhaps it depends on the.
So, what do you use for the cross section?
Sarpita. So from Sarpita we wrote it in Cauley Takayama.
Yeah, so you use what you wrote in Cauley Takayama?
Yeah. And I know that it is relatively higher than this one.
It should be much higher, yeah.
Not so much. In fact,
plus the thing with the like that this is the low temperature value. You cannot at low temperature. That's another modification.
Yeah. Pointed out that the catalyzed DBN of deuterium and the captured helium 4 enhances the resynthetic production rate. And the.
No
gamma. This was original. Okay. And enhancement of cross section is the factor that I'm going to say or something. And this was confirmed by Japanese Hamaguchi and Yanagida Katsura and Tamina Kino. So this is really problematic. And according to our calculation of star NLSP and gravity NLSP scenario. So completely by considering this catalyzed DBN, this region is excluded by lithium 6 or by lithium 7 observation, which corresponds to the lifetime is longer than 10^3 1000 seconds, say. And the original,
Approximately, yeah, it's more like, you know, more like 3,000 or whatever. I mean, like, you have to look for the details.
Yeah. What? Thank you for the second, yes. Yeah. This is approximately number. But originally we expected that graphene can be RST. So this line is this line was the graphene can be RST. But the lake abundance of star corresponds to here. So originally we expected that the longer regions, allowed region should exist. But by considering this kind of recent over production problem, that this region is completely in this case. And this figure shows it clearly. So by here there are no region for the CDM allowed CDM line here. And if we consider the star mass up to 1 TeV, say 1 TeV, of course, if we extend this to the larger value, say 5 TeV or something, maybe this will be discussed by Frank Stefan or Joe Pradra. But the, this region is, so currently, we think that the star NLSP and gravity NLSP is disabled. Okay, so we may have to look for another possibility.
For small gravitational masses,
yeah, but the, so but we have to extend the star mass into the larger one.
Why?
Yeah, to explain the gravitational LSP.
For example, if you like in your title, you say Gravitino LSP scenario engage mediation. So engage mediation, I would expect anyhow that the Gravitino mass is maybe a lot smaller than 1 GeV.
Yeah.
And
but the
who are perfectly fine, you sit to the of the blue line.
No. Maybe you are discussing that the. Okay. Of course, if we give up that Gravitino can to be LSP. Then, yeah, surely there is allowed region. But originally.
If the graphene has been still allowed, then left to the line.
No, but the lake abundance is here.
Lake abundance of what?
Of star.
Yes?
So there are no allowed region.
Well, if the graphene mass is 10 to minus 2 GeV, it's fine.
No, in that case, the graphene cannot become a CDN.
No, by the way, from the. I mean.
So, of course, if we need another step.
No, that we really just, that your assumption is not is that the gravitino relic abundance comes from the decays of the star in the LSP.
Only decay from it.
But that you can really have this very generic thermal production with a reheating temperature of
260
and have a gravitino
happy. Yeah, okay.
Everything's fine.
So, of course, being disabled is too strong for it. But the, of course, there is a possibility to be produced by the thermal scattering after.
But it's a very generic process.
To fix the big values by using thermal scattering after cooking, we need time junior.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. But the. By only considering the non-thermal production, so we need additional parameters.
Well, but I mean, reheating occurs in any case, so production is unavoidable. It's not the additional assumption by hand, but it's always thermal production.
You only
have to, adjust the reheating thing.
So I know, but only by considering the non-thermal production, But at first we thought that, for example, super-wind scenario or something, we thought that the simultaneously there is, we believe there is simultaneously allowed region or something. But currently, the situation has been changed.
What? 10 minutes.
Two. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So currently we need, of course. So we are looking for the fact that simultaneously solved or allowed region or something. For example, yeah, another possibility is stop NLSP and gravity NLSP. So in this case, here there is a allowed region, not considering the reheating or something. But we have to change the parameterization or considering the another boundary region, for example, such as M1 and M2 instead of new parameter and the MA or something. But in this model, is very there are a lot of complicated cosmological scenario to predict the abundance of the stop method or something. But still, it is possible. Okay, and of course another scenario is so as Hamoji says that and Frank says that if we consider the Newtonian NLSP and gravity NLSP, so but BBN constraints are much milder and we need fine tuning of the heating temperature. So to fit the observable value of the CDM to be fitted. So non-thermally produced gravity doesn't explain the right value of the system. Okay, of course there is another possibility. If we consider the RPT violation in gravity non LSP or star or something, then in that case NLSP lifetime can be much shorter. And there we don't have to consider such a catalyzed BBN or something. But for the motivation of the RPT violation, currently there are a lot of discussion about to fit the astrophysical signal, for example, cosmic wave or something. But to fit them, there are a lot of uncertainty. So in that case, the motivation might be decreased. Well, but of course, within the uncertainty, it's possible. But still, I like this kind of direction of discussion. But still, it's of course okay. But here I'd like to introduce another possibility to simultaneously explain the dark matter density and the escape from the constraints of BBN. So degenerate star NLSP and neutralino LSP scenario. So it doesn't contain the gravity. So in that case, we only assume that this might be fine tuning, but that we assume that the mass difference is much smaller than the weak scale. For example, say 100 MeV or something. In that case, of course, this kind of scenario is also studied by Maxim Postelov with Bard, Koopman, Postelov. In that case, this process might be popular in BBN community because beryllium 7 capture the electron and produce the lithium 7. But similar kind of process occurs in this system. For example, through the hadronic current interaction, if the beryllium 7 captures the star, then immediately the lithium 7 this decays into lithium 7 with emitting the neutrino. Neutrino.
Bit of tuning of flavor violating coupling down, right? Because if a star can decay to, say, electron and neutralino, you'd be sensitive to this coupling as small as 10 to the minus 13 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be, make sure that your salt breaking does not induce. Anything, if there would be something like that, it would be, the most precise probe of flavor violation ever.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that Let's say in include right-handed neutrinos. Well, let's run down whatever your
you mean
Semco, right?
Small violation.
Even you know, let's say we take star neutralina electron vertex. Say let's take 10^-8.
Yeah.
It will pass all the constraints. It will immediately kill taus on the spot. Right? They won't live until 1,000 seconds. They will decay right away.
So that will. How does it affect?
It will affect the lifetime of stuff. It will shorten the lifetime. Any flavor value in coupling, if it will shorten the lifetime very, very considerably.
Right.
So one either has to resort to low energy Suzy breaking or you know almost Dirac-like color coupling, so that you don't have much of a flavor.
Lifetime of the
What I'm trying to say that even the tiniest flavor value in coupling will lead to the decay of stuff.
Is it right body decay or low body decay? Star going to.
Star going to.
What is the.
Star going to power.
This case it doesn't. So what is the final scalar in between lithium and then?
It's a double. Very same. Two focus. Very same.
That's double.
That's double.
Okay.
It's a weak capture. It's a variant, some modification of weak.
Ah, okay. Hi, Anthony. Here. Yeah. Okay, so we may assume such a thing.
Yeah, you have to really prohibit any coupling to electrons with a huge degree of accuracy. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah, of course, this process was also in fact that Friedman was there. But we also consider this process. Lithium film also decays in tandem.
Yeah, I agree with that. So lithium seven can be further captured and converted to helium, whatever.
Yeah. But it's interesting. Of course, okay, there is a lot of lithium in this scenario. The function of delta M and star. Here is a lot of region. But our originality is that this was the second paper of our paper. But, we consider that this is the same thing decay process. Of course, in standard DEM, there is a process to destroy the same by the scattering with background flow. But it's very competitive to this our scenario, this destruction scenario. Because thermal destruction of lithium 7 frees out at around 20 KeV or something. It is very close to the close to the epoch of binding with lithium 7. So very tricky. So we wanted to check which is effective or something. So surely comparatively, this contributes to the destruction of lithium 7. So we have checked that horizontal line it comes from such a destruction process of our model. So here, this is white region is allowed. And simultaneously, this scenario explains the fit to the CDM value. This is stated the green line here. So, yes, so I think this model might be attractive. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And still, today I'd like to introduce another possibility related with the star and LSP. But the LSP should be another exotic one, Axino or Flatino or we named Flatino. LSP in DFSZ axion model. This is called the Gatt axion model or something in gravity mediation. Here we introduced the two scalar fields, flat direction. W is a super potential and P and Q, not the Petri field, P and Q scalars. And it is coupled to Higgs through this coupling. And it's interesting that this potential contains the new term of Higgs. By using the two fields, P and Q. If P and Q have the wave, then this model can produce the new term of physics, mass, which is needed for MSSM. Okay, and it's interesting that this potential produces the p to the 6, and the negative mass of negative mass over the p, and this kind of potential is very interesting because the wave. Okay, next slide. I would like to express this one. This wave of p and q decides the action scale f a. And we request that this is 10 to 10 GeV. And the combination is Planck mass times m square. M is mp or something. And we know that the mp and mq is a weak scale. So this, so wave is very large, but the mass scale is very small. So very flat potential is predicted. And from the viewpoint of cosmology, this type of potential is very important because this induces the so-called thermal inflation at around 10 GeV scale. And after thermal inflation, the decay product or entropy production completely dilutes any dangerous relic density, such as moduli or something, even for gravitino. So completely the initial condition, the blank initial condition is realized after thermal inflation. So we are considering this cosmology based on the flaton. This P and Q are called flaton. And in this case, the prediction is like this. The, there are three scalars. One is the axion, and the mass is relatively zero compared with weak scale. But there are three another scalars called fraxions. We call this fraxion. And their mass is weak scale. And another prediction is that there are two fermion components, like axinos. But there are two. So the superposition of these two fermions gives the LSP called fraxino. And also the mass is 100 GeV. So in that case, it's interesting. So decaying flaton in scalar after thermal inflation reheats the universe and produces the star, an LSP star. And typically, the reheating temperature is very small, 10 GeV. And it's interesting that the lifetime can be smaller because we are considering the DFSZ axion model, and it couples to the standard model such as Higgs. And so suppression is smaller than the Planck mass. So lifetime is very short, typically 10 to minus 8 seconds or 10 to minus 2 seconds. So, okay. In that case, we don't have to worry about the catalyzed BDN, even with star and LSP. And this lifetime is very short, but it can be found in LHC. And there is allowed region, simultaneous allowed region, without considering the area universe. As a function of star mass and stop mass or stroke mass, because the stop decays into fraxine in the model. And in these two parameter region, surely there is allowed region to fit the TGM value, the red region. And the blue region is the condition for the NLSP star and the fraxino NLSP. Yes.
Okay.
And this year, the LHC will start, and typically the size is 1 meter or 10 meters or something. So this type of short lifetime star can be detected. But as I said, the lifetime can be larger. So even for larger lifetime, namely C tau is 10, more than 10 meters, there are some with energetic discussion to detect such a long-lived star by using the 5 meter iron wall placed outside the CMS or something, and a water tank placed on, I don't know, Atlas or something, or surrounded by using surrounding rocks. And after they can catch the star, long live star, and after decay, we can detect the such a daughter party. So there are this kind of active plan to do that. I don't know the detail, but the theory there is idea. Okay. Okay, in this talk, I discussed the very various kind of mass spectrum of NLSP and LSP. And for gravity in NLSP case, the wind is very tight constraint on the heating temperature after inflation. And when we consider the inverted case, neutral in NLSP and gravity in NLSP, so by only consider this non-thermal production, the gravity in LSP was disfavored. Sorry, this might be too strong, but okay. If we consider the reheating, fine-tuned heating temperature, it's okay. Okay, sorry, it might be too strong statement. And the chart VBN is, you know, problematic to install NLSP and gravity in NLSP scenario. Of course, if we tune the reheating temperature, it's okay. And another possibility is the degenerate star and neutral NLSP. And this is also possible. And on the other hand, the star NLSP and fluxino LSP scenario is attractive. And can be detected in LSP or placed another stopper. So I think that this possibility is very attractive. Thank you very much.
Is there a burning question? Otherwise,